Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Score Rewind. Playing back the best that you missed today on The Score.
All right, what better way to get set for tomorrow night's game? Bears-Bucks. Bears now underdogs only by 3.5 points. It was 5.5 most of the week. People are taking a look at that Bucks injury report. Look at all these players that might not play. Already declared out, including Godwin, including Fournette. Mike Evans, questionable. O.J. Howard out for the season with an Achilles. Injuries are piling up. Cluster injuries for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they're still going to have 12 out there under center. Bears, home underdogs by 3.5. So let's hear from the radio analyst of your Bears, Tom Thayer. He dropped by Danny Parkes, Anthony Heron earlier this afternoon.
What you saw against the Colts, specifically from the Bears offense, how much of that was bad offense and how much of that is let's credit the number one ranked Colts defense?
I would always blame it on myself. I would blame it on bad offense, insufficient yards on first down through the running game that really dequalifies almost two-thirds of your offense, because if you just don't have the thought, the concern, the paranoia about David Montgomery being really good beyond the line of scrimmage, I think it takes a lot of your secondary threat away. It hurts your play action pass. It hurts your ability to run screens. You have a limited amount of time to really threaten downfield when you're facing second and significant and third and significant. So I think the deceptive part of what the offense had within itself in the last couple of weeks, because of how affected the concern for Montgomery was, it helped, but it took a lot away when you don't have it.
When you look up front on the offensive line, I mean, obviously they were more than effective through the first couple of games and tapered off a bit in week three, last week against a really stout defensive front. Probably the worst game the O-line has played so far this season. I've been encouraged. Now, I've talked to you about this. I've been encouraged by what I've seen from Matt Nagy formationally, schematically, some adjustments it seemed they've made over the offseason. The willingness to continue running the ball versus just not having success and being forced to throw. How did you see that balance of where sometimes you may just need to be stubborn with calling run plays? Do you think the game itself just sort of got away from the Bears offense where not as many run plays could be called?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I don't know. I don't think it got away from them. I just think if you're really going to commit to it and if you're going to try to gain the identity of the offensive line in which the Indianapolis Colts came in with, sometimes you got to put up with those frustrating runs. Because, Ant, you were a defensive player your whole career. And so if you had a team that was running really well against you, all of a sudden the third and fourth quarter, they kind of felt like four quarters of the game, because that's when fatigue, that's when the physical abuse of the running game kind of started to take its stronghold. And if you put up with a frustrating two and a half yard run in the first half over a couple of times, maybe in that third quarter it breaks open to a 5 or 6 yarder. So I like the direction where the offensive line was going within the first couple weeks of the game, of the season. I don't want this game to come back to haunt them, because the best way to kind of reconfirm that you are a good developing offensive line is about going up against a good football defense like the Tampa Bay Bucks and kind of you know, getting that respect back that the trail you were on.
So what do you need to see from Matt Nagy and the Bears offense tomorrow night?
I need to see a real-time consumption offense that includes every phase that I was talking about, the running game, play action, downfield, even in the introduction. I want to see him challenge vertically. You know, I think that's where Nick Foles is at his best, and I think that that's when you can put the Bears receivers into the biggest advantage point. And even if you could include a guy like Javon Wims and a couple more of those vertical routes, I think you can continue to be threatening. But you have to have the success in the running game just to keep Tom Brady off the field. If you don't have those time-consuming drives that result in some type of points, and then you give Tom Brady either favorable field position or a feeling of vulnerability against your defense, he'll pick on it relentlessly, and then you're just going to really have a difficult time with Tampa Bay. So I think it's as much as you really want to throw the ball in the modern-day NFL, I do still think it's time of possession related to scores that keep Brady off the field.
Bears, great. Tom Thayer with us here on the Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score. And at receiver, it can be difficult to transition at times in the NFL and with this offense and the passing attack being so inconsistent. But Darnell Mooney has just floored me every single week with the way that he not only is fast, but seems to have some nuance to the way that he can run routes, Tom. You get to see it, you know, right there at the games you and Jeff are calling in person there. You get to see the full scope of the field. What stands out to you about the way he can eat up yards on secondaries and really separate at a level that a lot of the other Bears receivers aren't right now?
You know, and since he's got here in training camp and we had a little bit more exposure to him, I think he's the most creative with the ball in his hands after the catch than I've seen around here in a long time. And I know that he was a later round draft choice, and you hear about, you know, it's difficult for those guys to really contribute very much, but I think he has that ability in him. And you see him on that long pattern along the left sideline when he was able to track the football throughout the entirety of his route with the defensive back, had his back to the football, he's able to go up and make an offensive catch. I think when you do put him in space and you allow to put the ball out in front of him where he's running away from defender, I think he has such creativity in what he's going to do after he has the football that's, I think, one of his biggest assets. And we just haven't seen it very much because, though, you know, there hasn't been a lot of great catches in motion to carry through what I'm talking about.
Do you think the Bears are a good team?
I think they have the ability to be a good team. I don't know if that question is answered yet. I think a lot of it is, you know, it seems like we get a lot of our words, you know, whether it's rhythm or respond or recovery. You know, I think it's how they rebound from the effort, at least on the offensive side of the ball against Indianapolis. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, my God, it's a woes me approach to the defense. But if you want the best football team, is the Bears a good football team? If they're complemented properly with points and time of possession by the offense that puts the fresh defense out there every chance that they have to take the field, then you're talking about two elements that can play at a much higher level because they can each feed off of each other, and you still need a quality input from the special teams. But I think it has the ability to be a good football team, but they have to be good on all three ends of the, you know, all three aspects of football.
And that defense, Tom, that this over the last between last season and so far this year, we just rarely get to see the Bears defense take the field with game control, take the field where the opponent is down by a touchdown, let alone multiple scores, where you can really sort of play downhill at the opponent. How much of that do you think we factor into to the defense not being quite as dominant as what some of us would have anticipated?
You know, I think if the Bears offense did complement the defense with a lot of points and gave them that track stance advantage, and rather than the defensive linemen have to have concern of catching the offensive linemen coming off the ball because they still have the ability to do everything because there's such a small separation in the score. If you put that Bears defense on the field with a 12, 14 point lead, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you get these guys repeatedly running after the quarterback, they don't necessarily have to sack him, but they have to get him off that point of where he wants to throw the ball. And you look at all the quarterbacks they face so far, they're really comparable to their skill sets, whether it's because of their age and their style of play or their young guy like Daniel Jones, and he just doesn't have the knowledge that he's going to gain in the next 4 years, but he's still a tall, stationary quarterback, and now they got another one coming in this week. If they could just, with great consistency, get the quarterback off that spot where he likes to throw the ball, you can create some inefficiencies in the offense. But it is, Ant, about making sure that these guys have a lead where they can, you know, challenge you every once in a while. I think Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith are really good blitzers. I think Buster Screen or the other guy, Eddie Jackson, even Tashawn Gibson, I think they can all blitz, you know, at you at some point or the other. So if they keep those guys in a guessing game and these guys get to unload upfield, I think you could see a lot better performance that, you know, contribute to more sacks out of the defense.
Bears great Tom Thayer with us on the Score. What impresses you most about this Tampa Bay team?
You know, Tom Brady doesn't care about coverage. He throws to the open receiver. And when you're talking about, oh, we're going to try to limit him to make sure that he only has to look at one side of the field, he'll do it, and he'll still get the ball out of his hands and officially into the hands of an offensive player. But it's more of his concern, his ability to see the width of the field. And if he feels there's a vulnerability within your defense, he will relentlessly attack it until you either make a change or the game is over. And we've seen examples of that throughout his career when he was with New England playing against the Bears. And I just think that as limited as his skills may have been since early in his career as a young man, mentally he's even stronger at the line of scrimmage, whether he's manipulating a defense out of position or he's making the right decision. You know, we interviewed Dave Moore, who does the radio analysis for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And he says Tom Brady is in such good relationship with these receivers. He throws it to the back of the helmet of the defensive back, and then the receivers know where to go and get the ball. So he's thrown it to position. The defensive back's not aware of it, but it's also a target where the offensive line or the receivers have become familiar with.
And Tampa Bay's a fairly banged-up squad. If the Bears can go out there and get this one, whereas through the first 3 weeks of them being 3-0, it still felt like because of the opponent that maybe we didn't truly know how good the Bears might be. Is this a good litmus test? If the Bears can get this figured out on a short week versus Tom Brady and the Bucks, a banged-up Bucks squad, but is that an indicator that the Bears are ascending?
Yeah, you know, but to me, as we talk a lot about the solid reputation that the defense has so far. And you look at, you know, Justin Watson is out. Goodwin is out. LeSean McCoy guarantees he's going to be out. O.J. Howard went on injured reserve. So he still has a selection of receivers he likes to throw to, like Scotty Miller, and Gronk's getting better. Cameron Brate is a heck of a receiver. But the thing about this offensive line, it's one of the most aggressive off-the-ball offensive lines that I've seen in this short beginning of the season. They're a lot better now than they were the first week of the season. So if this injuries on this football team make Tom Brady go more one-dimensional, and that's running game to play action pass. I know it's two-dimension, but it starts with the running game. If they rely on their offensive line, I think that is going to be an unbelievable battle to watch, is their offensive line against the Bears front seven, front eight, however they want to line up.
Tom, earlier in the show we talked about a moment of glory for my guy Anthony Herron. He's got the picture on the wall behind him of him in college sacking Tom Brady. When Brady was at Michigan and Ant was at Iowa. I'm curious, like, do you have a story or a moment from your career where you're like, man, I pancaked block fill in the blank Hall of Famer, or I put like this beast on his back, and like an individual moment within line play that was just like so personally satisfying for you?
You know, I it's probably not personally satisfying, but when we were playing the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Championship game in Chicago, I pulled – no, you know, it might have been the Monday night game that year. Well, anyways, I pulled out, and I had a long-running start, and I was going to – I had it taken. It's called the first force, and that was Ronnie Lott. I remember him hitting me so hard that I just could not believe that a guy of only 200-and-something pounds that – He didn't slow his stride down. He never stopped. And, I mean, it was an incredible collision. And so more than having the pride of sacking someone like Ann, especially a guy like Brady, it's more of having those big contact plays with guys like Ronnie Lott. And then you realize why they're a Hall of Famer and why they have the reputation they do. It's just because of what he was willing to do. It was an overwhelming shock to me.
And so, true or false, his finger got stuck in your face mask, thus leading to him slicing it off days later. That's how that went down, right?
Right, yeah. No, it wasn't me. It was just a cold Monday night or whatever it was, that it was a big collision. And it's just all due respect to Ronnie Lott, man. That guy is a legit hitter.
Toughest guy you ever had to block?
Reggie White. And I was more of a help guy, because Reggie White either lined up on Jay Hilgenberg when they played a Bear defense after Buddy got, and then, or else he lined up over Van Horn. But the thing about it is no matter where he is, you're double teaming him. You have triple eye concern for him every time. And so when you get a point where Reggie White is lined up over you, maybe on a nickel or something, you feel the enormity of his strength. And it's just amazing. But I always think Keith Van Horn, of all the offensive tackles in the NFL, played him as well as you could possibly play him, because he was such a dominant force no matter who he played against.
What was his secret? Sorry, Ant.
Keith's secret is the fact that he's a great athlete at 6'7", and if he could get it, he can get his hands to the body of the defensive player before he creates a lot of force towards you, and you slow down that force before it's out of his stance. And he just did a great job of being able to control him with the snap count.
One thing that does really intrigue me about tomorrow night's matchup, you mentioned Buddy Ryan, and obviously one of the great aggressive defensive minds in the history of football, Todd Bowles, and his scheme that he's running as Tampa Bay's defensive coordinator. It's going to be one of the more aggressive attacks that the Bears have seen on offense. Nick Foles, his acumen pre-snap, those are things that should be positives. Will the story of the game perhaps be told in whether or not the Bears can pick up chunk yardage against one of the more blitz-happy defenses in the league?
You know, I think the question that'll be identified within the first quarter, because if Bowles comes and he's got a couple really creative blitzes that are hard to pre-predict, especially when they come from both the free and strong safety at times. So it is, you know, making sure you keep your vision on a swivel. Cody Whitehair has got to understand the movement of the defense throughout the cadence, but it is going to take the responsibilities of the uncommon blockers, like maybe Cordarrelle Patterson if he's in the backfield, or even David Montgomery, but Montgomery's a good blocker. So I think it's everybody's got to be in rhythm, in tune at the same time of understanding where your responsibility lies, and then don't try to do too much. Because if he gets you a couple times early in the game, they're going to send him all game. Every time they get to a second or third and significant, they are going to bring it. But if you pick it up once or twice and you burn them, you'll see seven guys dropping off the line of scrimmage.
I love that point Tom makes there, Danny, the uncommon blocker. Cordarrelle Patterson, as talented a runner as he is, as your number two running back, though, he's going to have an expanded duty in the game tomorrow night. He's going to be in the backfield taking on a blitzer every once in a while.
Right.
That's something folks should look at.
Right. I mean, it's going to be a bit, you know, that's their obligation, because if you become a vulnerability, if you are on the backfield in these meaningful downs, then you have to develop new personnel groupings, or possibly put a guy like J.P. Holtz or Ryan Nall back there to see if they're up to duties. But you know what? Cordarrelle Patterson, he's never shied away from contact. And if you were blitzing or coming at him, I think he'd be willing to stick his helmet right in your chest.
Bears radio analyst Tom Thayer there with Danny Parkins and Anthony Herron. Earlier today on Sports Radio 670, The Score, around this time tomorrow, we'll have a pretty good idea which team will come out victorious on the lakefront. The Bears 3.5-point underdogs against the Bucks at the moment. Who knows? That might continue to move based on the news that we get tomorrow on the status of Mike Evans, if he's going to play. That is going to be a big one, so keep an eye for that news. Will Mike Evans be on the field for the Tampa Bay Bucks? Huge, huge, huge. And we'll see if the Bears can do a better job of keeping tight ends out of the end zone. Cameron Bray and maybe even Gronk expected to be involved in the offense. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. It is Score Rewind Hour. We'll get back to the Bears matchup later in the hour, but coming up next, Ian Happ with his weekly visit. Postmortem of the Cubs 2020 season is next on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Joe Ostrowski with you on this Wednesday evening, Sports Radio 670. The Score around this time every night. As long as I'm on the air, we're doing Score Rewind, bringing you back some of the best interviews that you may have missed throughout the day. And let's switch gears a little bit from football over to baseball. Ian Happ dropped by like he did every week, all season long on the Dan Bernstein Show. And as you know, on Wednesdays, Layla Rahimi sits in and co-hosts with Dan. So they both had a chat with Ian Happ after things have settled in nearly a week after the end of the 2020 campaign.
Back and you kind of evaluate your own performance, you know, what you think you can do better and what you have to work on, mostly from a physical standpoint, from the body, and trying to get your body right and ready for going into spring training next year, how you can improve that way. But as far as physically on the baseball field, you know, you kind of take those things you did well and catalog them and make sure that you're going to do them well again next year and build off them. And then things that you think you can improve on, kind of put a plan in place so that next spring training you can feel like you're in a better spot.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest questions that a lot of Cubs fans have is, of course, how do you bottle and replicate whatever you did in the offseason and during that break before we resumed playing baseball and try to make that happen again? And what did you like about everything that you just mentioned and how it worked for you in the season?
I think the thing that I liked most about it was pretty simple. The preparation was simple. For me, the what I wanted to do with my swing, everything from my baseball standpoint was very simple in what I tried to do. And so for me, replication of that, it's always difficult to replicate on a daily basis in Major League Baseball. Hitting is very difficult. But as far as replicating my thought process and what I was trying to do physically, hoping that shouldn't be too much of a challenge.
I don't think we give enough credit to how difficult it is to stop thinking as much when it comes to being at the plate or even when you're in a batting cage. How difficult is it to just focus and relax and talk about what you're doing, which is simplifying?
Yeah. There's that old adage of you can tell someone to focus, and it's the way you say it, right? Focus. And you're like, oh, that's going to be easier. Relax. And you're in the batter's box. You're like, all right, that should be easy to relax now. And not thinking is so challenging. When you have guys up there, you know, think about the two pitchers from the Marlins that we faced, two guys throwing between 96 and 100, and they have two pitches that are that fast, moving two different ways, with a four-seam cutting fastball and then a sinker, plus secondary stuff, and you're trying to react. But at this point in baseball where it is, educated guesses are so important, and that takes thinking. And it's how can you make the best decisions and then shut your brain off and let your body react once the pitcher's in his motion or once the ball's released for those tenths of seconds that you get to make a decision and actually swing and hit the baseball. So I think the hardest part of it, though, is probably all the outside influences. The hardest part is when you're not going well or when things aren't clicking exactly how you want, not getting too worried about everything else that's happening. And I think that you saw in a 50-game season how difficult it can be when you don't have the 162 games, when you don't have 600 at-bats to try to put together. It's more of a collection at that point where you know an 0-for-5 isn't going to kill your stat line, and you can put together a couple 1-for-4s and some walks and what that does for you over the long term. And it was just a really different season from that standpoint.
Is there anything you were looking forward to be able to do that you can do now that you couldn't do during the season?
Yeah, plenty of things. Couldn't do much during the season. I think, you know, for me, my go-to right away is to get out and play some golf, enjoy the nice weather we're having this week in Chicago. But besides that, just going out and be able to sit outside and eat at a restaurant. There's a lot of my Chicago favorites I haven't been able to eat at. So I'll do a little bit of that. I think seeing my family is number one on the list. You know, I'm going to go sit on the podcast, going to go see my mom and my grandma and do stuff like that that you just couldn't see anyone, couldn't do anything. So a normal person thinks.
So where do you go? Where do you live now? And how do you sort of bridge that time until whatever the next spring training is going to be?
Yeah, I'm an off-season nomad. I am in Austin, Texas, full-time. That's kind of my home base for the off-season. But I'll be all over the place. I'll be in Chicago quite a bit. Like I said, my mom's in Columbus, Ohio, so I'll be heading there to see her. So that's I don't really stay in one place for too long during the off season. I like to be on the move a little bit. I know this will be a little bit different this year with less going on.
As a former Austin, Texas resident myself, Ian, I know that breakfast tacos are probably on your list for the cheat meals and meals that you want to get as far as being outside of the respective bubble you guys had. But I'm always curious what the athlete cheat meals are. So I have to ask you, what's a Chicago meal on the top of your list now that you can go to a restaurant?
Yeah, breakfast tacos are definitely up there.
They're the best. They're the best.
I will do... Pizza is a big one for me. I'm a big pizza cheat meal guy, but like a big Italian dinner that I definitely shouldn't be eating. that's kind of my go-to.
You had mentioned that on the podcast that the moment you stop playing, there are little physical things that you had back-channeled, that you were toughing through, not thinking about, that maybe even just you didn't allow to affect you, that all of a sudden come at you in one rush. And there has to be a certain aspect of a professional athlete who is able to compartmentalize actual physical injury, and that once you knock down those barriers, it has to hurt, literally.
Yeah, the days and sometimes weeks after the season, the way your body feels is unexplainable, I guess. And on the podcast, Dakota said that he was feeling it for the first time this year. But I just, when you do it every single day, it doesn't matter if it's 60 days or if it's 162 days, when you do it every single day for that that period of time, your body starts to get used to playing with that, with those feelings, with being uncomfortable or with little things and pushing through little things. One thing will hurt worse than everything else, and that's all you can feel. And your body, it knows when the end is. I don't know how, but it does. And when you finally take that breath and that, all right, we're done, we don't have to do this anymore, everything lets go. And it's a unreal experience to feel some of the things that, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know my left big toe was in that much pain this whole time.
Yeah, I feel like it's a mind over matter thing. And you hear a lot about, like, people who work a lot, of course. And I think this is the same idea, getting sick on their day off, you know, because the body finally has a chance to rest. And you mentioned it, Ian, this is earlier than the Cubs wanted to see their season end. What's the emotion surrounding this? We heard from David Ross. We heard from Theo. Where are you at as far as knowing you could be playing baseball right now? And you did, you mentioned it, run into two very good Marlins pitchers, but still.
Yeah, it was just a sad, disappointing and the feeling in the locker room after. I think those are, you know, those are your best friends and those are your brothers. And when you're all trying to do something like that collectively and got through the season in first place and felt like we were in a position where we could, you know, win a series there and move on. It's just a difficult pill to swallow. And I think that in our clubhouse, you know, we can take something out of that season and we can feel good about winning our division and the work that we put in to do that and being diligent with all of the protocols and everything that took out of us. But at the same time, you know, two of the last 3 years getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs, that is never a good feeling, ever.
Yeah, and we always, of course, as in the media, are going to draw the parallels from 1 year to the next, but how different was the end and the offense's performance, I think, this season compared to what happened last year at this time?
Yeah. We didn't score enough runs for our pitchers. And I think that when you have Kyle go out there and give us 7 2/3 and 3 runs or 6 2/3 and 3 runs, whatever it was. And then you have Darvish go out and give us a really good start and 2 runs, could have been 1 run even pretty easily there. If I made that play in center and it's just, you want to back those guys up. Us as an offense, we want so badly to come through, and we want so badly to make sure that our pitching staff is taken care of from a runs perspective. And our goal every day is to go out and let's, how do we get to 5 runs? Because if we get to 5 runs, I think statistically, if you get to 5 or more, chances of winning a baseball game are pretty good. And we weren't able to do that enough. And I think that, you know, it's just a disappointment for us as an offense. We take it on ourselves that we didn't do enough to help our pitching staff that was really, really good. And well, we found a way to win games during the regular season, but unfortunately that's playoff baseball in 2 games and it just doesn't come through. But it's something that the players are aware of. Obviously the players are upset with, everybody gets upset with themselves first, I think, and nobody points the finger, which is a really nice thing about our clubhouse.
Have you had your official exit interview yet?
No. I don't know. You know, in the COVID season, when those will be, or how they'll do it, if it'll be a phone call or Zoom, or no, I'm not really sure.
I'm just curious because we saw Theo talk for an hour, and this is, you know, we know Theo after 10 years, and this is sort of the most uncertain and in between we've heard him, and he is searching for words and trying to be empathetic on so many levels. He seemed frankly a little worn out. He seemed under a little bit of strain, and the truth is he's got some decisions to make. You're gonna have a lot of different teammates next year, and how do you go into an off season knowing that you could get an alert on your phone and all of a sudden there's a teammate as an ex-teammate?
You know, I think we've done that for the last 3 off seasons. There's been some sort of I think in the middle of a build or a run of a team, there's always a chance that guys are going to get moved in the middle of that. And there's always a chance guys are going to get moved in the off season, no matter what team or the trade deadline. You know, we go through this on a very regular basis. Unfortunately, it's something that we've had to get used to, because when you build these relationships and these are your friends and the guys you like going to work with, it's awful that you have to go through a period of time where you might lose those guys, and you know that. The trade deadline is like the worst day of the year, and the build up to that for people, for players and their families, from a personal and mental standpoint, is brutal. It's brutal. And I always use the analogy of, you know, can you imagine if somebody was working at Twitter and they just came up to him like, Bob, you've been traded to Facebook and you have to be there tomorrow. It's a crazy concept to think about, but I can't predict what will happen this off season. And I think as a player, what you have to do is just, you have to go about your work and try to get yourself as prepared for the coming spring training as possible, because everything else is out of your control. And we'll see what they want to do. And I know that there's a lot that goes into it with everything that's happened from a financial standpoint this season, with what teams think their finances are and what they want to do. And it's going to be really interesting off season for free agents, for arbitration, for all types of stuff in Major League Baseball.
That was one of the best analogies I've heard, and to use Twitter and Facebook was great. Before you go, we want you to be able to promote your coffee, Ian. That's a pretty cool project.
Yeah, thank you. The quarantine coffee is in Arlington right now. Kitch Fix is out there doing the food for all the teams in Dallas. So they were gracious enough to take quarantine coffee with them. And so it's going to be served in the playoffs, even though, unfortunately, I will not be there. But it's pretty cool that it's going to be in the clubhouse. Some of those guys will get to try it. So we're excited about that. And I know I've been saying K-Cups are coming for a long time, but we're still working on it. Had some packaging delays, but hoping to get K-Cups up and running sometime soon. So excited about the possibilities. And also, I saved a lot of my game use stuff this year, so there could be some game use stuff in quarantine coffee shipments moving forward.
Whoa, cool.
Ian, this has really been fun. I look forward to continuing this relationship, even if we just, you know, have you on to break down the Masters or any you know, golf things that come along. I can't wish you barrels. Whatever the golfing equivalent is of clean ball striking, I'll wish you that instead of barrels at this point.
Yeah, just wish me the center of the club face. That's all I need now.
There it is, center of the club face. Ian, thank you, and good health. We'll talk soon.
Yep, thanks very much.
Thanks, Ian.
That is Ian Happ.
Cubs outfielder Ian Happ on the Dan Bernstein Show, just like every week throughout the 2020 season. Right here, Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi today at Sports Radio 670. The Score, we know, changes coming to the Cubs roster in some way. At least that's what it sounds like they're saying. We'll see. Have to see what the value is of some of these players on the open market. Theo Epstein probably here one more year, and we all expect Jed Hoyer to be announced on the future president of baseball ops for the Cubs after the 2021 campaign. A lot of moving parts, a lot of intriguing issues going on with that Cubs team right now. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. This segment on The Score brought to you by Valparaiso University. The satisfaction that comes with living to your full potential is immeasurable. It's a quality of life that Valparaiso University graduates enjoy every day. At Valpo, your full potential receives our total commitment. Visit valpo.edu to request information, apply, or schedule a visit. Coming up next on Score Rewind, talk some Bears Bucks and some NFL issues. That is next on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app. The Score Rewind Hour on Sports Radio 670 The Score. My name is Joe Ostrowski. Earlier this morning, right after we had all this breaking news across the NFL, okay, positive tests here, positive tests there, with multiple teams, multiple players, Titans, the number is up to double digits now on that COVID-19 list. Just players, not just people inside the organization, just players. I think we're at 12 now. Michael Lombardi drop by the Mully and Haas Show for his weekly visit right here on 670 The Score.
What that means, I mean, I've been in the NFL 35 years. I don't think I ever heard Bill Walsh use calibration as a term in terms of talking about offensive football. I think, you know, do they need to make more yards per play on passing attempts? Yeah, they're 28th in the National Football League in that area. Do they need to get better in red zone third downs? Yeah, I think so. They're 27th in that area. So I think they got to get better at that area. Do they need to improve? And this is, to me, the most critical stat of all. If you're Matt Nagy sitting at your desk at Hallis Hall, is rushes and completions. Rushes and completions is a stat that you need to use as an executive or somebody who's studying a team, because you can't always tell whether your execution is precise. And what that means is you take the rushing attempts, add it to the pass completions. That number generally should be over 52 if your execution is good. You know, and the Bears are ranking 23rd in the National Football League in that area. They're well below the average. So their execution isn't very good. They can calibrate all they like. It would be better if they execute.
Yeah, and it would be better if they could get a quarterback that could be accurate, and that has been an issue, whether it was Mitch Trubisky. And on Sunday, frankly, it was Nick Foles. I think we expected a little bit more out of Nick Foles in his first start as a Bear. But also, Michael, I wonder if you factor in the Colts with the number one rated defense in the league, how much do you put that on Nick Foles, and how much do you put that on the fact that, you know, he was inconsistent because the Colts are pretty darn good on defense?
I think it's a combination. Look, I think the Colts are good up front, and I don't think the Bears' strength. Anytime the Bears play against a team that's good in the defensive front, I don't think the Bears' offensive line is anywhere in the top half of the National Football League offensive lines. I think it's soft. It doesn't play with power. I've said this numerous times. I think that's the Achilles heel to the Bears' offense. I think if you fix that offensive line and made them more physical, got a running back in there that could really pound it. You know, I mean, for all the talk about signing Mike Davis, he's actually the back that the Bears thought he was down in Carolina. You know, now he's not running it down in Carolina. He's running it in Carolina. Different run game. They're running power down there. They're running more of a powerful run game. That's not what Matt Nagy was running. So maybe it was the wrong fit. Backs are always about what runs you run. But I think that line really holds them back. And I think you could see it in that game. They had a hard time blocking Justin Houston, had a hard time blocking Buckner in the game. And the quarterback's always throwing the ball a little bit in a rush. And when that happens, it's never good.
Mike, when you look at the injury list heading into this game here on Thursday, it seems as if Tampa has every skill position player taking a day off and battling some sort of an injury. That's not unusual going into a Thursday game. It's a very short week, and obviously, if you've got a lot of guys that are fighting injury, you'd rather have them up and running on Thursday than doing anything in a walkthrough, whatever it might be. Where do you see their skill position players heading into this game? Is that just when they're giving so many guys a day off, or so many guys can't practice, is that just giving them a day off?
Well, nobody's going to practice on this week. I mean, it's all walkthroughs anyway. And if you got a 43-year-old quarterback, he's got to, you know, let's walk through it. You know, I think you'll get Fournette to play. We know O.J. Howard's out for the season. Godwin, I'm not sure. Scotty Miller wasn't supposed to play last week. He did. Mike Evans got hurt during the game but came back and made some unbelievable plays. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, the rest is just getting ready for the upcoming game. The challenge for the Bears is, look, we know the Bears struggle to score points. And the one thing that Tampa can do, they move the ball effectively down the field, and you're not going to win this game 19-10. You're not going to win this game 19-14. You're going to have to win this game 27-24, 27-21. They're going to have to generate some points. Now, last week, Justin Herbert did. He made some throws down the field. He was able to attack it. They did a great job of picking up the blitzes from Tampa. Todd Bowles does a great job attacking the opposing quarterback. They did a really good job. They ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. Tampa outscored them 14-0 in the fourth, which really was the difference in the game. The heat and humidity, I think, got to the Chargers. They wilted in the fourth. Anthony Lynn tried a long field goal, which really came back and backfired on them. So it's going to be a challenge for the Bears. They're going to have to play way better on offense for them to think they're going to have a chance in this game. But I think it's really doable. I mean, I think it's really doable. I think they can win this game because I think the defense, if they can pressure Brady, and we've seen Brady make a lot of mistakes so far this year, they'll turn the ball over.
Radio.com Sports, Michael Lombardi with Mully and Haw. Always some good stuff there. Never afraid to share an opinion. My time is up. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I want to thank Aaron Lemming, Eli Hershkovich, and John Mamola for dropping by the show. Executive producer Adam Studzinski. You can catch me tomorrow on The Score at 1 o'clock doing my weekly visit with Lawrence Holmes, previewing Bears-Bucks from a betting perspective. And in the morning, I'll be on Bet Sweats on the free radio.com app. You just search Bet Sweats. They're live 9 to 11 a.m. And you can catch the podcast later in the day. We have great guests. Great guests and some terrific NFL content. More of that coming your way. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star rating and a review. If you don't catch me there, I'll be on with Lawrence at 1. Talk to you then on 670 The Score.
Burn that damn thing and don't play it again, huh?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.